Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The actual shiur will be beginning with the last few words of Yud Ches Amud Beis. We have a nosei, a topic heading that we would want to make reference to before the Gemara. This is found in the margin under the heading nosei. You see we've written in Bikurim, the first fruit offering that a person brings to the Beis HaMikdash and gives to a Kohen, Me'emosai Zar Ha'oichlon Chayov B'misa. From what point is it that a Zar, a non-Kohen, who would eat the Bikurim, who is forbidden to eat the Bikurim and in fact eats it, from what point would he be Chayov Misa, be Chayov death at the hands of heaven? Omar Rovo Bar Ado Omar Rav Yitzchok Bikurim Me'emosai Chayovin Alehem. We're at the top of Yud Tes Omer Aleph. From what point would a Zar be Chayov Misa if upon eating the Bikurim? Mishiyiru Pnei Habayis. From the point that they are brought into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Kiman, based on whom is Rovo Bar Ado's ruling? Answer, Ki Hai Tana, Desanya. He is based on the following Tanaic source. Reb Elezer Omer, Bikurim, Miksosan Bachutz and Miksosan Bifnim. If someone was bringing a basket of fruits, part of them are inside the Beis HaMikdash and part of them are outside. We're talking about fruits that are entering the Beis HaMikdash, while some of them are still outside and some are inside. Shebachutz, those that are outside, Hare Hein Kechulin L'chol Devarim, they have a status of common fruits. In other words, they don't bear any penalty upon their consumption. Shebifnim, however, those that entered the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, Hare Hein Kehegdish L'chol Devarim, they are viewed as holy with regard to all matters, including the penalty of being consumed by a non-Kohen. You'll notice a slash in the Gemara, which indicates that that which follows is a new idea. Amar Rav Sheshes. We may qualify ourselves by saying new idea, meaning an idea that does not follow from that was mentioned immediately before. However, the issue that Rav Sheshes will deal with is an issue that we have seen dealt with on the previous Omid already, and then under the names of Rav Elozar and Rav Hoshaya, and we saw the same teaching taught by in a different version, by way of names, by Rav Asi on Rav Yochanan. Rav Sheshes says that the Hanocha is Ma'akev and the Kriya is not Ma'akev, the same idea that we've seen before. So, here in the Gemara, Om Rav Sheshes, Bikurim Hanocha Ma'akev Esbohen, Kriya Ein Ma'akev Esbohen. We've also included a little star between the Gemara and the Tosis. In other words, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's a circled little star and an indication of Yud Ches Amud Beis. That means that if you scan back to Yud Ches Amud Beis and scan up and down the Amud and find a parallel marking, you will see a star indicating Yud Tes Amud Aleph over there, drawing your attention to the fact that this Shita of Rav Sheshes was reflected by others earlier. So Rav Sheshes says that the Kriya is not Ma'akev. Based on whom is Rav Sheshes saying his words? Kiman. The Gemara answers, Ki Haitana. We've included a long point marking to illustrate that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this section that's marked off with a nun, as you can see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a circled nun with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are here to develop the point or answer the question of based on whom is Rav Sheshes's ruling. We could have theoretically called this a long answer marking as well, in response to the question of Keman. So the Gemara says, Ki hai Tana, Desanya, like the following Tana found in this Tanaic source. The Tanaic source is marked off, as we saw just above, in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our marking system. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shloisha Dvara Mishum Shloisha Zakenim. Rabbi Yossi was known to report three teachings in the name of three different Zakenim. And we are going to learn one of them over here. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel deals with the following issue. Before we actually read on in the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic and structural note combined. You'll notice a little geometric form. We call it the crown marking. As you know from the introduction to the system, no individual geometric form has any inherent significance. All the forms do the same thing. They attempt to tie together related points or create a series effect. Here, the crown is part of a nisayon lilmoid din meiser sheni bizman hazeh mi bechor ubikurim. We're going to try to learn the approach to the Meiser Sheni tithe nowadays, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Meiser Sheni being a tithe, one-tenth of one's produce, one was expected to bring to Shlaim during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, of the sabbatical year cycle. And we're trying to learn in this piece of Gemara what our approach should be to Meiser Sheni, based on our approach to Bechor and Bikurim. In other words, there's a certain assumption right now that regarding the Bechor, the firstborn animal, firstborn male animals are brought to the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohen as a gift. First they're presented to the Kohen and he brings it as an offering, and the Bikurim offering as well that the Kohen receives. So we're going to try to learn the approach we are to take with regard to Meiser Sheni from the known approach we take with regard to Bechor and Bikurim. So the Tanaic source goes on. Rabbi Shmuel says, Yochol Yale Odom Meiser Sheni Bizman Hazeh B'Shalayim V'Yochlenu. Could it be that a person brings Meiser Sheni nowadays to Yerushalayim and eats it in Yerushalayim, eats the very fruits of the Meiser Sheni without redeeming them? V'din hu. With logic, we should be able to conclude this. So as we mentioned before, you'll notice the crown marking surrounding the word Bechor, and a little bit later, you'll see the same marking around Bikurim. We are going to embark on an attempt to determine the law of Meiser Sheni from Bechor, and when that fails, we'll then turn to learn from Bikurim. We also featured in with a marking a diamond around the word ma. These represent pirchos. Pirchos are the undoings of whatever we're trying to say up till that point. So here we try to learn Meiser Sheni from Bechor. V'dinhu, Bechor ta'un havoas mokom, u'Meiser Sheni ta'un havoas mokom. The Bechor requires bringing it to the place, namely to the Beis HaMikdash, and Meiser Sheni also is required to bring it to its place being Yerushalayim. Ma Bechor eino elo b'fnei habayis, just like the Bechor is practiced only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, af Meiser eino elo b'fnei habayis, so too Meiser Sheni is practiced only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, namely while the Beis HaMikdash was standing, one could bring his Meiser Sheni fruits to Yerushalayim and eat them without redeeming them prior. The Gemara at this point, the Brisa says, I cannot learn from Bechor to Meiser Sheni. Ma le Bechor shekein ton matan domim veimurim legabi mizbeach. Bechor has an added feature, maybe we'll call it a restrictive feature, that necessitates having the Beis HaMikdash standing, in so far as it requires blood sprinkling and the offering of its innards. It's an animal, so the certain inner organs are offered on the Mizbeach. So for that you need a Beis HaMikdash, is the supposed thinking right now, which is not the case there. By Meiser Sheni, there's no Matan Domim and Imurim with regard to fruits. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says back to that, responds, Bikurim Yochichu. Let the case of Bikurim, the first fruits, prove that here is an example of something that doesn't have Matan Domim Ve'emurim Legabi Mizbeach, and yet it requires the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll say the same thing by the Meiser Sheni, that just like Bikurim, it requires Havoas Mokom, and there is no need for Matan Domim Burim Legam Mizbeach by Bikurim. Likewise, with regard to Meiser Sheni. To that, the Brisa offers a Pircha. I cannot learn from Bikurim either. Ma'ala Bikurim Shekein Teunin Hanacha. Bikurim have a feature that Meiser Sheni does not have, and that is that they require being placed down next to the Mizbeach. So as a result of that, it may be that Bikurim, since they have this Hanocha requirement, they need the Beis HaMikdash, which is not the case by Meiser Sheni. At this point, in standard Tanaic form, the Tana would say, well, then let Bechor prove the case, Bechor being something that does not have Hanocha and yet requires the Beis HaMikdash. Let us say the same thing by Meiser Sheni, and that would be refuted as we did above, and then in standard Tanaic form, the halacha would go round, would revolve round and round, and we would then make a common denominator between Bechor and Bikurim that they require Havoas Makom and require the Beis HaMikdash. And I would say between the two of them, Bechor and Bikurim, I should then be able to conclude, let us say the same thing by Meiser Sheni. But in this case, the source does not do that. It doesn't practice what we refer to as standard form. Rather, in order to resolve the issue of the Meiser Sheni, the Brisa goes and cites a Pasuk. This issue that we just mentioned will be the subject of the Gemara a number of lines down from here. If you scan ahead, you'll notice another line with an arrow, just like this line has an arrow pointing to it that's found in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. A few lines down, there's a line pointing to an expression, V'lehader dina v'tesi b'mahatzad. At that point, the Gemara will say, let the logic revolve. In other words, once Bikurim doesn't suffice, let's go back to Bechor. And when Bechor doesn't suffice, we go to Bikurim. And then we should extract a common denominator. That's what the Gemara later says, V'tesi, let the issue of Meiser b'zman hazeh be derived b'mahatzad, from a common denominator between Bikurim and Bechor. At this point, though, the Brisa goes on by citing a posuk, Talmud Lomar, V'ochalto Shom Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, V'chule. The posuk, you'll notice, is cited on the side of our Gemara, Dvorim, Perek Yud Dalid, posuk Chof Gimel. It says, V'ochalto Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Bamakoim Asher Yivchar, the Shaken Shmoisham, Maasear Degoncho, Tiroshcho Vitzorecho, Uvachurus Bekorcho, Vitzonecho. In this posuk, Makish Meiser Lebchor. Meiser, the tithe of the produce, is compared to Bechor. Ma Bechor Eino Elo Lifnei Habayis, just like the Bechor is only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Af Meiser Eino Elo Lifnei Habayis. So too, the ability to eat the fruits without redeeming them beforehand, to eat the fruits in Yerushalayim without redeeming them beforehand, is only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. The Im Isa, if it were so that Kriya, the Kriyas Aparsha by Bikurim, is Me'akev, which is naturally not what Rav Sheshes said. Rav Sheshes, who was the reason for bringing in this entire source, he had said that the Hanocha is Ma'akev, but Kriya is not Ma'akev. But if it were so that the reading of the Parsha of the Arami Oved Ovi, the Kriya Mikra Bikurim, is an essential part of the mitzvah, then Lifroch, then the Pircha in the source here should have said, in other words, where we have a diamond and followed by Lebikurim, Ma Lebikurim, it should have said Ma Lebikurim Shekein Teunin Kriya V'Hanocha. But it didn't say that. It just said Ma Lebikurim Shekein Teunin Hanocha. So from the fact that it doesn't emphasize the Kriya aspect, it shows that that is not an essential part. The Gemara asks, well, Rav Ashi now asks, granted that from here we see that it's not Ma'akev, but is there still not a mitzvah to read the Parsha? And in the spirit of the mitzvah, should that not have been part of the Pircha in the source, in the where the source showed that you cannot learn Ma'aser Sheni from Bikurim? Omar of Sheshes, Nehi de Ikuva Leko, granted that there's no, that the reading is not an ma'akev, is not an essential part of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, mitzvah mi leka, v'leimo mitzvah lifroch. Is there not a mitzvah aspect, meaning it would be a positive aspect to the fulfillment of the bikurim mitzvah by reading the parsha? Why not say that bikurim has aspects beyond ma'aser sheni in that it has hanocha and a mitzvah, albeit not essential, but nevertheless a mitzvah to read the Parsha? Elo Omar Ravashi. Ravashi responds, why does it not say that? Kevon de'iko bikurei hager de'boi lemeimar. Since you have the first fruits that may be brought by a convert, a ger, and because of his status, he is unable to recite the Parsha. The Parsha says, asher Nishba Hashem Lavosenu Velo Motzi Omar, since the ger would be an exception to those who would read the Parsha, so the reading of the Parsha is not something found all the time, Lo Psikole, it's an inconclusive aspect to the performance of Bikurim, it's inconclusive, it's not absolute, it's a non-absolute, because of this, these exceptions, the exceptions in the form of the ger. Therefore, the Tana doesn't use that as part of his Pircha argument. The Rashi, at the upper part of the page, fills in a piece of important information. Lo psikolei, umihu bi Yisrael, afilu ikuvo ikolameimar. From what Ravashi points out, this source may in fact reflect a position that the reading is Ma'akev. And the only reason the reading of the Parshas Bikurim was not mentioned in the Pircha is because of its non-absolute nature. Namely, in the case of the Ger, it wouldn't be read. However, for a Yisrael, for a person who is of a Jewish heritage, when he brings the Bikurim, he'll have to read the Parsha. Hence, we cannot say that this source serves to support or be the basis of Rav Ashi's opinion, Rav Sheshes' opinion. Rav Sheshes had said that Bikurim, only the Hanocha is Ma'akev and the Kriya is not Ma'akev. But, as we're pointing out right now, according to this Tana, the Kriya may also be Ma'akev. The Gemara asks, V'lahader dino v'teisi b'mahatzad, why in the source did it cite a posuk to determine the din of the Ma'aser Sheni when it could have cited the source by using a combination of Bechor and Bikurim, citing the common denominator between them in that they are things that require Havoas Mokom and require the Beis Hamikdash? Let us say the same thing by Ma'aser Sheni, that it has an obligation of Havoas Mokom, of bringing it to Yerushalayim, and it should be Noheg only Bizman Beis Hamikdash. Once again, we read in the Gemara, V'lehader dino b'teisi b'mahatzad, and derive Ma'aser Sheni from a tzad hashava between Bikurim and Bechor. A tzad hashava meaning a common denominator. The Gemara answers, Mishum de Ikol Mifrach, had it been presented thusly, we would have rejected it with the following pircha. And we've used the diamond again to indicate a pircha. Ma lahatzad hashava shebahen, sheken yesh bohem tzad mizbeach. Not only do they require havoas makom, but they have an aspect that you don't find by Meiser Sheni, in that both Bechor and Bikurim have, as part of their performance, the mizbeach, the altar. In the Bikurim, you needed the altar for the location of them being placed, the Hanocha Eitzel Mizbeach, and for the Bechor, there was the Matan Domim Veimurim Al Gami Mizbeach. The Gemara now asks a question. Why is it that this Tana feels certain about Bechor more so than by Meiser? In other words, as far as this Tana is concerned, there, in his mind, it was a given that the Bechor is not Noheg Bizman Hazeh, and by the Meiser Sheni, it was a question. Of course, you may raise your eyebrows and say, well, if you're talking about a Bechor, of course it's a sacrifice, of course it's not Noheg Bizman Hazeh. As far as that wonderment, let us go on in the Gemara and see how that's not necessarily an absolute or conclusive point with regard to our approach to sacrifices. So, in brief, the question is, why is it that this Tana feels certain about Bechor and is uncertain about Meiser? We've also used a long question marking to indicate that the next few lines are here to develop the question. Following it, we will provide a long answer marking. Umay kosovar. I kosovar, we've underlined the expression I kosovar to propose two sides of this question. I kosovar kedusha rishono kedusha l'shaita v'kitcha l'osid lavo, that the original sanctity that the Beis HaMikdash achieved when it was built is an everlasting sanctity. If that be the case, afilu b'chor nami, so then even b'chor would be noheg bizman hazeh. We would have a situation that people could bring the b'chor sacrifice even today when the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins. Rashi points out, afilu b'chor nami yikra v'yochal, let it be offered and eaten. The Haman de Isla Kitsho Osid Lovo, the opinion that holds that the Beis HaMikdash sanctity is everlasting, Svirolei Makriven Afopisha Ein Bias, he holds that sacrifices can be offered even if the physical temple is not standing, Kedamrina B'Megillah Nikres, as is said in that parak in Maseches Megillah. Let's continue in the Gemara. I kosovar kedusha rishona kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'osid lavo. If you accept the opinion that the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash was of a temporary nature but not everlasting, in other words, we would be waiting for the building of a new Beis HaMikdash to have the kedusha, the holiness, the sanctity reinstated. Well, if you hold that, afilu b'chor nami tiboi, then the Tana could have asked a similar question with regard to b'chor. You'll ask, what do you mean? If the kedusha is temporary, so what question would there be that one could ask about b'chor in the first place? Rashi expands on this. Let's see the Rashi. V'i kosovar lo kitcha. Afilu b'chor nami tiboi. If you hold that the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash that it experienced initially was of a temporary and non-everlasting nature, then one can inquire concerning a b'chor as well. The ikosava, Rashi goes on, kedushas habayis botla, that the sanctity of the temple became void, umiboyale b'maiser, hoyol v'eino tzorach labayis. And he is asking about the Meiser, the Meiser Sheni tithe, since it doesn't require the actual Beis HaMikdash. Imis Akil B'Yerushalayim
lifnei Hashem karina bei ilo, can it still be eaten in Yerushalayim? And Yerushalayim still be referred to as lifnei Hashem, which is a requirement in the pasuk that it shall be eaten lifnei Hashem, or maybe, since the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, so we no longer have this characteristic of lifnei Hashem today. Well, afilu b'chor nami ki hai gavno tiboyle. We could have raised a question regarding the eating of the b'chor, eating, namely the eating and non-offering of b'chor in Yerushalayim, just like we are raising with regard to Maaser Sheni, kagon. And what do you mean, eating of the b'chor? Kagon. B'chor shenizrak domo. It would be a rather contrived case, but it could have been part of an inquiry, nevertheless. A b'chor whose blood was sprinkled while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, b'chor of Habayis, and the temple was destroyed, v'adayin b'soro kayim, and that very meat that you sprinkled the blood was still around, mahu shiochluhu, could one eat it in Yerushalayim at that time? So we have a parallel case of b'chor. B'chor meat after Zrikas Adam would be parallel to the issue of the Maaser Sheni. Both of them don't need at that point a base Hamikdash per se. Could they be eaten in Yerushalayim, a Yerushalayim that is missing a base Hamikdash? So the Gemara goes on. Omer Ravina Li'olam, and we have a long answer as is indicated by the Tuf Teretz indicator with the dashed vertical line. Li'olam kosovar kitsho l'shaita v'lo kitsho losid lavo. This Tana is certain that the sanctity was of a temporary nature. V'hocha v'v'chor shenizrak domo kodem churban abayis v'chor av abayis v'adayin b'soro kayom. And we are talking about that which we just saw in the Rashi, a b'chor whose dam was nizrak, whose the dam was sprinkled, the blood was sprinkled before the destruction of the temple, and the meat is still around, and it is certain to the Tana that the b'chor meat would not be eaten, and that's because of the following. Umakshinon. Makshinon means we compare from the word hekish. We compare besoro ledomo, the treatment of the basar to the treatment of the blood. Ma domo b'mizbeach, just like the blood is related to an actual mizbeach, af besoro b'mizbeach, so too the ability to eat the meat is dependent on the presence of a mizbeach. And hence, the b'chor was clearly non-applicable or non-practiced once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even if all you were dealing with was the mere eating of the meat. Umakish Maiser LeBechor. And then the Tana wanted to compare Maiser to Bechor. And that was the method that the Tana tried to use to conclude the din of Maiser. The Gemara asks, V'chidover halomeid behekish chozer umalameid behekish? Can the meat, which is derived from a comparison to the blood, turn around and be used as a source of comparison to Maaser Sheni? This is called a lomeid min halomeid, a derivative, then turning around, the derivative being the meat, turning around and serving as a source for something else. This practice of learning, of deriving things, is not an acceptable way of concluding matters when you're dealing with the realm of Kodshim. This is the subject of a discussion in the fifth parak of Maseches Zvachim, and Rashi points that out over here. So the attempt to use Besar Bechor as a basis for Maaser Sheni is not legitimate. The Gemara answers, Maaser Dagon Chulin Hu. In the context of our Gemara, we may say on a relative basis, the tithe, the Maaser Sheni tithe, is viewed as mundane, as common food. Chulin. So in the realm of Chulin, Lomeid, Min HaLomeid, is a legitimate form of coming to conclusions. The Gemara says that may be fine according to the approach or the opinion that says, determine your topic by the final outcome. Honicha leman de'omer boser lomeid azlinon. As we said, the legitimatizing of lomeid min ha-lomeid in this context would be acceptable according to the opinion that says, determine the context or determine the nature of the limud by the final outcome. The final outcome being Meiser Sheni, and that is true, Chulin. Elo leman de'omer boser melamed azlinan, but according to the opinion that says that you define your topic by looking at the source of information, and in this case the source of information is the Besar Bechor, and that's Kutchin, that's the realm of Beis HaMikdash, the realm of holiness, Ma'iko LeMeimar. How could there be an attempt to learn Ma'iser Sheni from Bechor? The Gemara answers that we don't really have a two-stage process here, which we called Lomeid Min HaLomeid, because Dam Ubosar Chada Milsehi, the blood and the meat are one entity. And since they're one entity, it's a one-stage limud, which is, of course, acceptable. We're trying to compare Meiser Sheni to Bechor, to all the components of Bechor together. And therefore, the attempt to learn one from the other would be acceptable. Kotshe kotshim, chutz lekloyim, kotshim, Umaiser Sheni Chutz Lachoma. The Mishnah indicated on Daf Yud Zayin that eating these things in these locations would result in Malkus. The Gemara asks, there seems to be repetition because Tnina Chada Zimna. This seems to have been taught already on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in the Mishnah there, Maiser Sheni VeHekdish Shelo Niftu. The prohibition of eating Meiser Sheni and Hegdish that have not been redeemed. So what is the necessity of going over Dinim concerning Hegdish and Meiser Sheni again in our Mishnah? Before we go further, we assigned a title to this sugya, Prote Halochas Shel Achilas Meiser Sheni. We'll see details regarding the consumption of Meiser Sheni reflected in this upcoming Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Seifa, the Mishnah on Yud Zayin, talks about the Meiser Sheni Tohor, the Gavro Tohor, the Ka'ochile Chutz Lachoma, where the fruit items and the person are pure. They have not experienced Tuma, and the problem is that he's eating them outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Reisha, the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, was talking about a different situation. The Meiser Sheni Tomei, the Gavro Tomei, the Ka'ochilei B'Yerushalayim. There, the fruit is Tomei, the man is Tomei, and he's eating them in Yerushalayim without having redeemed them, transferred their sanctity onto money beforehand. The fact that we see Malkos being given for the consumption of Meiser Sheni Tomei indicates that is a problem. From where do we know that the consumption of Meiser Sheni Betuma is an Avera? With the markings, you can see there is a diamond that appears, and that's explained under the Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara, Havlotas She'elos Shel Menolon. We're going to be emphasizing or bringing out the questions of from where do you know? Menolon. From where do we know? The first time we're going to ask Menolon de Mechaivle Mishum Tuma, and later we're going to ask a question of Menolon de Bar Padiyahu, that it's something that's subject to redemption. So the Gemara asks, Umenolon. By the way, the advantage of these diamonds isn't not just merely to randomly highlight questions, but it's also to give the feeling that until the next diamond, the subject of a discussion will be focused on this particular issue. So here we will be asking, Umenolon de Mechayev Alei Mishum Tuma. How do we know that there is a a violation involved when one consumes Maiser Sheni Betuma. Desanya, the source begins here. We've also provided a long answer marking. This marking will be very helpful because in the course of the answer, there's going to be an interruption in the flow of thought. We will indicate that with brackets. And then the actual answer will continue later. Desanya. So we bring a source in an attempt to discover the prohibition of consuming Maiser Sheni Betuma. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Biarti Mimenu Betome. When the need to recite what's known as Vidui Maisros arises, this takes place twice in the 7-year Shemitah cycle. The owner of his property is expected to recite the Parsha Vidui Maisros, which includes a declaration that he did not deal with his produce in a state of tuma. It says Lo Biarti Mimenu Betomi. Literally, I did not rid myself of it in a state of tuma. Bain Shani Tomei Vuhu Tor, Bain Shani Tor Vuhu Tomei. Whether the person was tomei or whether the fruits were tomei. At this point in the Gemara, we see a bracketed section. The issue that arises in the brackets is a question that turns out to be a non-question. The real question will appear after the brackets. Tumas atzmoi minayin. From where do we know that there is a prohibition of consuming the fruit when the fruits themselves are tamei, even if the man himself, the owner, is tor? The focus then, the main focus in this issue will be a source for a prohibition in consuming the Maiser Sheni fruits when the fruits themselves are tamei. But before we get to that, another question is raised, but as we said, we'll show that it's a non-question. Vehechon muzar, we're reading now in the bracketed section, Vehechon muzar al achila, from where do we know that a person is warned against eating the fruits when the person is in a state of impurity of tuma? Eini yodea. So the Tana would be saying, I don't know. To that, the Gemara responds with wonderment, Tumas haguf behed yoksiv. As far as a person being tamei and hence being prohibited in consuming the Maiser Sheni because of his personal bodily tuma, that is a posuk, nefesh asher tiga boi v'tomo ad ha'orev v'lo yochal min ha'kodoshim. The posuk clearly says that a person who has bodily tuma, he is restricted from eating these things. Ela, if the Tana is to inquire about tuma, ask as follows: Elo tumas atzmoi minayin. Atzmo referring to the Maiser Sheni itself. From where do we know that when the Maiser Sheni itself experiences impurity, that there is also a restriction in consuming them? Tamud lomar, dichtiv lo sucha lecho bishorecha. That's one pasuk. Ulahalon hu omer, in the case of a bechor bal mum, that's a bechor animal that is not fitting to be brought as an actual sacrifice on the altar, on the mizbeach, but it nevertheless is given to the kohen as a gift. Its imperfection is called, it's referred to as a bal mum. So we're talking now about this pasuk that's going to be cited from Devarim, Perek Tezvov, is a pasuk dealing with the Bechor Baal Mum. Ulahalunu Omer, Bishorecha Tochlenu Hatomei Vahator. That this can be eaten outside Yerushalayim by both those who are Tomei and Tohar. Vitanyo Debei Rabbi Shmoel. Afilu Tomei Vator Oichlin Bekoro Achas V'ein Choshishin. They, the Tomei person and the Torah person, can eat out of the same bowl the meat of the Bechor Baal Mum, and there is no problem. The Ka'omar Rachmona, and the Torah is trying to say as follows: Heich Tomei Deshori Loch Gabi Bechor the tumah that I allow in the case of the Bechor. Now, the tumah in the case of the Bechor, when you have a tomei and tor person eating out of the same bowl, the tomei person upon touching the meat will be making the meat tomei. And it says that there is no problem in eating it. Namely, the Bechor Baal Mum meat that became tomei is okay. And the Torah is saying to us, when it says, Lo sucha lechol b'shorach, it's saying that that tumah that I allowed over there by Bechor, hacha, in the case of Meiser Sheni, lo techol, that here in Meiser Sheni, you cannot eat. And what is the tumah that was allowed in the case of Bechor? The Bechor, where the meat itself, and we're paralleling the meat itself that became Tameh to the Meiser Sheni itself, the food item that became Tameh. And once again, by the Bechor Ba'amum, where the food item itself became Tameh, it can be eaten. And as opposed to the Meiser Sheni, that itself became Tameh, cannot be eaten. We also mentioned above that the there was a violation for eating the Meiser Sheni that became Tomei and it being eaten in Yerushalayim, and we also spoke out without having received Pidyon. That infers then that it must be something that could have been redeemed. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Uminolon debar Pidyohu. Rashi says, Meiser Sheni Shinitma. From where do we know that Meiser Sheni that became Tomei is something that's subject to being redeemed? From the fact that the Mishnah emphasized that it had not been redeemed, Mechlaldi Boi Parik, it must be that had you wanted to, it could have been redeemed. Even in Yerushalayim, which is a novel idea, the Afagav de Meiser Sheni Tor Eino Nivdeh, Yerushalayim, even though it's known that pure Meiser Sheni, the non Tuma, the Tohar Meiser Sheni, is something that cannot be redeemed in Yerushalayim. Dechtiv ki yirchak mimcha v'nasata bekesef. The pasuk says that redemption is done berichuk mokamata poidev, lo bekiruv mokam, when you're at a distance, namely when you're not in Yerushalayim, then you can do redemption, but not when you're in Yerushalayim. We're saying when it comes to Tomei, when it comes to Meiser Sheni Shinitma, that is not the case. And to the contrary, that Meiser Sheni Shinitma is subject to redemption even in Yerushalayim. And that is the question. From where do we know that to be the case? The Omar Reb Elazar. Before we go further, let's glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei, and we've called this Hemshech, a continuation, and a Mivneh, a structural note. We have a Bowtie form, another one of our geometric forms, Minayin, and you'll notice here and a few lines later, this word is emphasized. Shnei halachos shenilmodois mehaposuk ki lo tuchal say so. There, we will learn two halachos from the posuk that deals with the redemption of Meiser Sheni, the posuk that says, ki lo suchal say so. Literally, it means because you cannot carry it, but what its application is, that will be left to, we'll leave that to the Gemara to reveal. In our introduction, we make note of the two halachas. Number one, Meiser Sheni Tomei Nifdeis Afilu Besuch Yushalayim. We will learn that point from the pasuk. The Meiser Sheni that became Tomei is redeemed even in Yerushalayim, Masha'eno Kain, but Meiser Sheni Tor, which is not the case with Meiser Sheni Tohar. And the second point we will learn, Meiser Sheni Tohar, that Meiser Sheni that's Tor can be redeemed outside Yerushalayim. Well, that's obvious, it can be redeemed outside Yerushalayim, but even if you're a mere one step outside the walls of Yerushalayim, even though the Pasuk indicates ki yirchak mimcha mokum, and the literal translation of yirchak is when you were at a distance, at a long distance, through the power of Torah Shebal Peh, we're going to say not to read the Pasuk literally, but rather we gain a new understanding. It means outside of Yerushalayim, literally outside, even if it's a mere one step, there still is a possibility of redeeming the fruits. So we continue now in the Gemara, the Amar Reb Elazar. Minayin l'maiser sheni shenitma shepoidin oisafibu b'yusholayim. Talmud lomar ki lo suchal seiso. From where do we know that Meiser Sheni that became Tomei can be redeemed even in Yerushalayim? The Pasuk says, by Meiser Sheni, by Pidyon Meiser Sheni, Ki lo suchal seiso ve'en seiso lo achilo. The word seiso means eating. So when we read the Pasuk now, we would read because, you know, redemption is a possibility because you cannot eat it. Shinemar, and how do I know that seis has to do with food items? The Pasuk says, Vayiso masois me'es ponov. The brothers of Yosef, when they, after having encountered Yosef in Mitzrayim, they left him taking packages of grain, of masos, of packages of food. So we see from this pasuk of Kilo Suchal Seiso, and understand that the pasuk is in the context of the redemption of Meiser Sheni. So one redeems Meiser Sheni when he cannot eat it. If the Meiser Sheni became Tomei, we proved that before, it cannot be eaten, hence it is subject to redemption. Even in Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Beivai, Amar Rav Asi, Minayin l'Meiser Sheni Tohor, Shepoidin Oisafilu B'Psiyo Achas Chutz L'Chomer. From where do we know that Meiser Sheni that is Tohor can be redeemed even one step outside of Yerushalayim? Rashi on the first wide line says, "Afilu psio achas, afalgav dechsiv yirchak." Even though the pasuk uses the word yirchak, the mashma tuvo, which implies a lot, a far, far away. Talmud lomar kilo suchal seiso lenoso. The pasuk here is translated differently than we did just before. It says because you cannot carry it. Lenoso ulahavio lifni min achoima. To carry it and bring it into within the walls. Da'kosuf lo tolo hadavar berichuk. The pasuk by using this word say so is not making the halacha of redemption dependent on distance. Elo binetila, but rather on its movement. It's being taken from point A to point B. Point A from outside to point B inside. The chosman di ikol amevad akati netila havavo lifnim. That as long as there, it's still in a situation where it can be transported from point A to point B and brought in. Afilu psil achafs, even if it's one step away from that destination, namely in. Poida oisoy, it can still be redeemed. So we now turn back to the Gemara. The question having been raised, from where do I know that Meiser Sheni Tohor can be redeemed even if it's one step outside Yerushalayim? Shenemar ki lo suchal seiso. And the understanding of that is as we just learned in the Rashi. Redemption is a possibility when it still needs to be brought. And that is the case even if it's one step outside of Yerushalayim. The Gemara asks, how can you cite this pasuk for this halacha, but we just used this pasuk for the previous halacha? Hai mi boyale l'cha de Rebbe Elazar. We need it for the teaching that preceded this, namely, Meiser Sheni Shinitma that poidin oisa afilu b'Yerushalayim. In order to find where there was a reference to Rebbe Elazar, we've added little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, one over here, and one you scan up a few lines, and you'll see it points to the line where Rebbe Elazar's name appears. So the Gemara, in answering the question, Im Kain, if the Pasuk was for Rebbe Elazar's teaching, Lema Kra Lo Suchal Le'ochlo, redemption is necessary because you cannot eat it. My say so. Why was this word chosen, which has a connotation of movement, of being carried, being taken? So since the pasuk chose the word say so, which implies movement, being transported from point A to point B, I know that I can use the pasuk for Rav Beivai Amar Rav Asi's teaching. Pidyon if even psi achas michutz Yerushalayim. The Gemara asks, "V'eima kulo lahochi hudasa?" Maybe the pasuk is to be used exclusively for Rav Asi's teaching of psi achas, and not for Rebbe Elazar's teaching of Maisa Shenish Nitma Poinos of Yerushalayim. Well, in Cain, if it were exclusively for Rav Asi's teaching, Lema Kra, the Pasuk should have said, Lo Suchal Litloi. Litlo being a more defined or specific word appropriate for movement. My say so. Why was the word say so used, which has this eating implication to it? Shma mino tarti, by the choice of the word say so over litlo and say so over laochlo, we have the right to determine or to conclude two halachas from this pasuk. The two halachas, of course, being those two halachas that we featured with the bow tie marking above. Yosef Rav Chanina Rav Oshaya Apischa Diushalayim V'kot Mibaya Laho. These two Rabbonim were sitting at the entrance to Yerushalayim and raised the following question. Pshita, the first point is obvious. The second point will be a point of question. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's just glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where in addition to the topic, we'll also explain the role of the marking, in this case, a double underline marking. Haim Nechshav Bifnim. Is something considered inside when you have one of two cases? Hu bachutz umaso bifnim, or hu bifnim umaso bachutz. The first case would be where the person is outside Yerushalayim, but the package is inside Yerushalayim. You can imagine a person is, let us say, he's backing up into Yerushalayim. So that would create a situation where the Maaser Sheni, where the food is in Yerushalayim, and the person is still outside. And, of course, the opposite case, where he is inside, but the package is still outside. What is the din with regard to having entered? And when we speak about something having entered, it has numerous ramifications. One of them, for illustration purposes, we will talk about the ability to be podek. Can you still redeem it in the case of Maaser Sheni? Redemption of Maaser Sheni, assuming that we're talking about Tohar Produs, is an option only if one is considered outside. So let's now see this in the Gemara. They said as follows, Pshita hu bachutz umaso bifnim. If the person is still outside, but the package is inside, kol tuhu mechitzos. The walls have already absorbed it, and that would restrict any further pidyon option. What about hu bifnim umaso bachutz mahu? If the person is inside but the package is still outside, is there still a redemption possibility? Tana lehu hahu sabo b'debei Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The answer is provided from the hahu sabo from the yeshiva Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Ki yirchak mimcho hamokoyim. The pasuk that talks about redemption says, "Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom," and this word mimcha is analyzed or explained as meaning "mimi lu acha," from your completion, when you are completely outside Yerushalayim. Now, the term "completely" would mean you and your package. When you and your package are outside, then redemption is a possibility. However, when you don't have that situation, where you have a situation where you are inside, even though your package is outside, that's not called milu acha anymore, and hence there is no longer a pidyon possibility. Rashi says, "Mi milu acha, mikol milui shelcha." Then there's pidyon. Umaso shel adam choshev miluo. The package of the person is considered part of his completion, if you will, his wholeness. Delo tema, don't think. We have in a phrase marking, singular quotation marks, we've included all of that which you should not say. Don't say mimcha equals mimiktzascha, from part of you. The chosman sherochak miktzascha yehei nifteh, that as long as part of you are not in, there still is pidyon. That's not the case. Eloki yirchak mimilu acha pidei. When the miluacha is at a distance, is not inside, then there is a pidyon possibility. Aval kishata bifnim, oy masoacha bifnim, then lo rocha kamokom mi miluacha. Then you don't have this phenomenon of richuk makom, the shuv lo tifte elav yochalta sham. Therefore, there's no longer pidyon, but rather that which the pasuk also says goes on to say, and you shall eat it there, meaning the fruits themselves, without any redemption. Redemption being no longer an option. We continue in the Gemara. Boy Rav Papa, nokit le bekanya mai. What would the halacha be if the package wasn't on the man's back, but rather the person carrying the fruits was carrying it on a stick, and the Maiser Sheni was tied to the end of the stick? Is that also called Milu'acha? The Rashi explains this. Boy, Rav Papa, Hu bifnim v'nokat maso b'kanya oroch. The man is inside, and the package is on a long stick, at the end of the long stick, and that is outside. Mahu, Rashi continues, Kevon delav mamish al ksefo hu ein ze miluo. Since the package is not literally on his shoulder, rather the stick is on his shoulder, but the package is not on his shoulder, maybe that's not considered miluo. Vehare hu ke mutal laoretz v'niftan. It's therefore considered as if it were sitting on the ground, and would be able, the option of pidyon would still be available. O dilma, Keva de Nokitle, since nevertheless he is supporting it, Maso Karino Bay, it's considered his package, Teku. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Though we will not deal with this in today's shiur, it doesn't hurt to take note of the fact that we have circled Rav Papa's name, and also an arrow appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating Chof Amar Aleph. The Gemara on Chof Amar Aleph, right before the Mishnah, will make a point and say that based on the point made over there, we will be able to conclude Rav Papa's question. So with our markings, we will be making it easier when you get to Chof Amar Aleph to make reference to Rav Papa's question. And we've done that by circling Rav Papa over here, whose question is Nokit Le Bekanyo Mai, and also provided the arrow to make easy reference. We continue in the Gemara at hand by first looking at the Nosei topic heading, Dinoi Shel Rav Yochanan. We will introduce a law of Rav Yochanan, Ha deloiken al achilas meiser sheni chutz lechoma. That which we say that there's malchus, there's lashing for the consumption of meiser sheni outside of Yerushalayim, haynu kishikvar nichnas v'achar kach yosa. That's talking about meiser sheni that was already in Yerushalayim, that someone had brought into Yerushalayim and subsequently took it out of Yerushalayim, and then the fruits were eaten. That is what yields malchus. According to this, though, Meiser Sheni that's tithed at the farm and has not yet been in Yerushalayim at all, even though one ought not to eat it, that nevertheless would not result in malchus. Turning to the Gemara, Omer Avasiyam Rav Yochanan, Meiser Sheni me'emosai chayovin olav. From what point in the consumption of Meiser Sheni, from what point is one guilty of Malchus, namely one penalized by the punishment of Malchus? Answer, Mishiro Pnei Achoma, only from the point that the fruit was brought into Yerushalayim and then subsequently taken out. My Taimo, the Omar Kro, the Sukkim say, before we actually read the Gemara with its abbreviated presentation of the Psukim, we can look in the Chumash, Dvorim, Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. One might note that as the Gemara presents the Psukim, it will present Yud Ches before it presents Pasuk Yud Zayin. But to get a feeling of the flow, we look at the Psukim themselves, And it says, Lo sucha lecho bisharecho masar degoncho tirosh vesiroshcho vitzorecho vachorz bukorcho vetzonecho vachol nidorecho shetidor vinidvaisecho utrumas yodecho. You shall not eat all of these items, and for our purposes, all we have to focus on is masar degoncho. You shall not eat it in sharecho in your communities. Ki im lifnei Hashem elokecho tochlenu bamokoim asher yivchar Hashem elokecho boi. Ato vincho vitecho vavducho vamesecho valevi shebishorecho v'samachto lefnei Hashem elokecho b'chol mishlach yodecho. Pasuk Yitches indicates that the only place to eat these things, and of course we're focusing on the Meiser Sheni, lefnei Hashem elokecho. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara had asked what is the basis of Rav Yochanan's teaching. The Omar Kro, Lifnei Hashem Elokecho Tochlenu. Or, let's read that again. Ki im Lifnei Hashem Elokecho Tochlenu. Uksiv, Lo Suchal Lecho Besharecho. Kol Hecha de Karinon Bei Lifnei Hashem Elokecho Tochlenu. Those food items, those fruits of Meister Sheni, the produce of Meister Sheni, that we call Lifnei Hashem Elokecho, Karinon Bei Lo Tuchal Lecho Bisharecha. It's that food item that to which would apply the negative, the prohibition of eating Bisharecha. V'chol Hecha De Lo Karinon Bei Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu. However, those fruits of Meiser Sheni that I cannot call, I cannot refer to it Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, namely it's never been Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, it's never been brought into Yerushalayim, Lo Karinon Bei, I would not therefore refer to it the prohibition of Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharecha. The lav that would carry with it a penalty of Malkos would not apply to those kind of foods that were not yet brought to Yerushalayim. The Gemara will present a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's halacha from a Tanaic source that continues to the top of the Daf Chof. And from this source, we will see that even things that were not roya esachoyma, that weren't roya in penei choyma, even those could result in malkos. As far as proceeding in the Gemara with the question, that will wait till the next shiur. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.